I am on. I can hear myself. It's kind of loud. Try to move it over here a little bit. Okay. So I just heard, I was so glad to turn the page to February today because February is a short month and we're one day closer to spring. Of course, I hear there's something large coming tomorrow and Thursday, but for those of you that are teachers, I heard something interesting today. Tomorrow is 2/2/22, and those children that are in first grade will be seniors on 3/3/33. So if you're a first grade teacher, they suggested that you like have them write a note or do some sort of time capsule. But I thought that was interesting to hear. And 33 sounds really a long time away, but here we are in 22. Well, it's always good to come back on Tuesday nights. I was here for many years and went to the daytime, but I love to come back on Tuesdays and see you ladies. So life constantly presents us with choices. Some are as mundane as choosing what we might want to have for dinner tonight, but others, like jobs or marriage, can set the directions of our lives. And the same goes for our spiritual lives. Scripture says we face two paths in life. Jesus says there's a broad road that leads to destruction and a narrow road that leads to life. We can build our lives on sand or on rock. That rock is Jesus. Well, James presents the same idea when it comes to wisdom, a subject he introduced first to us in chapter 1. And here he is showing the choice between earthly and heavenly wisdom. Tonight we will look at what scriptures say about wisdom, then the conduct of wisdom, and finally we will compare the source, characteristics, and results of these two types of wisdoms. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the freedom to meet and study your word together. I pray that you open our hearts and minds to hear what you would have us hear. Help us to just listen with attentive ears to your word, not my words, Father, but your words. We pray all this in your precious name. Amen. Well, if you've not already done so, please open your Bibles to James 3. I'm kind of excited. I was able to do a chart. I have a friend that used to teach Bible study, and she loved charts. And I've never taught a lesson I thought where I could use one. So tonight I was able to do that on your outline. And, so that was something I was excited about. Well, let's start reading chapter 3 at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I'm going to put a disclaimer out here. I'm going to tell you a story about my daddy. I've been able to read it through at home without crying. I don't guarantee that that will happen tonight. But as I read through this passage and the characteristics of heavenly wisdom, I was reminded of my daddy. He was the wisest man I ever knew. He was not educated. In fact, he only went to school through eighth grade. And then he went to work in the blacksmith shop with his father. And eventually at 18, he went to war. He returned and eventually went to work as a laborer in the steel mill, where he worked for the next 40 years. He became a believer as an adult shortly before I was born. And he told me later, as I was older, that as he read through the Bible, he began to ask the Lord to give him wisdom. He asked for the wisdom that Solomon asked for in 1 Kings 3:9, and the wisdom that James tells us to ask for in chapter 1, verse 5, where it tells us that God gives generously. The Lord answered his prayer, and he was given generous wisdom. His wisdom was displayed in the way he led his family, his work ethic, where he studied and eventually became an electrician, in how he handled his finances, in how he treated and helped others, and in the way for many years he led church boards through good and difficult times, and he was always teaching the word. In the last days of his life, when he was just a few weeks of 90, he continued to dispense wisdom to me. And I'm sure his desire to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," were heard when he met his Savior. I am a product of him, and I don't have his wisdom yet. I strive for it and long for it. And he did not live to see me get to teach the Bible. He died before I started doing that. But the word of God was so relevant in our house, and that wisdom is such an example to me. And I wanted to share that story with you tonight. And this wisdom we will see is not one of professional competence, but of practical godliness. Well, James begins his section, which immediately follows the use of our tongue, with a rhetorical question. Who is wise and understanding among you? His answer does not identify a who, but a what. Wisdom is displayed in our conduct, which is played out in meekness, or as some versions say, gentleness. In other words, show me your wisdom by your life. Now, Webster defines wisdom as the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. But we're going to take a look at what the Bible has to say about wisdom. Psalm 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." And Proverbs 9:10 tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." This is the wisdom we obtain when we have a right view of God. When we come to realize his holiness, awesomeness, sovereignty, and when we embrace a proper fear of him, when we can see how great he is and how finite we are. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." This is the wisdom we obtain when we are in Christ. All God's wisdom resides in Christ, and because as believers we are in him, a term Paul uses many times, we personally can experience this infinite wisdom of God. Psalm 119:97 through 100 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts." This is the wisdom we obtain when we read and meditate on God's word. And James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given." This is the wisdom obtained by asking God, who gives generously. So if we take these scriptures, having a reverent fear of God, knowing that in Christ we have all the wisdom of God, staying rooted in the Word of God, and asking God, the giver of all good and perfect gifts, for wisdom, then this wisdom will be reflected in our conduct. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1, we're just going to read this. We're going to read the whole psalm. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Although wisdom is not mentioned in these verses, it paints a picture of two lives lived. Wisdom is seen in how we live our life. And although at times it may be heard in the words we say, it is on display constantly as we go about our daily lives. Wisdom displayed in our lives with meekness. In meekness, it says. Now, I know I've used this word in another lesson I taught, and I remembered saying meekness is not weakness. It is actually strength reined in and under control. It's not the absence of strength, but rather the proper restraint of it. Moses, who we know was not a weak man, a man who parted the sea with his staff because God asked him to do so, a man who went before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Numbers 12:3 says Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. And then Jesus said of himself in Matthew 11:30, "I am gentle and lowly in heart." Having told his audience how meekness will be played out in their lives, he then goes on to talk about two different types of wisdom, and he tells of their source, characteristics, and the results of them, beginning in verse 14. "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." The source of wisdom here is described in verse 15, where it says this wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Earthly can be described as something bound by time and the boundaries of the here and now. Unspiritual is being devoid of the work of God's Spirit on a purely material plane. The King James Version uses the word sensual here, and Adam Clark defines that as sensual as having for its object of gratification the passions and animal propensities. And then it is demonic, rooted in the spiritual power of evil authored by Satan himself. I love Philip's paraphrase of this verse. "It comes from this world, from your own lower nature, even from the devil." It just keeps getting deeper and deeper. If this is its source, we know that its characteristics cannot be desirable. And we see that this wisdom is full of jealousy and selfish ambition. Jealousy, or envy, as it says in the NIV, are much the same. It is being resentful of what others have, being discontent with what we already have, and somehow thinking that if we had what others had, our lives would be better. And this certainly goes hand in hand with selfish ambition, self-promoting ourselves, driven to achieve with no other purpose than to elevate ourselves. James says here not to boast and be false to the truth. R. Kent Hughes says this, in other words, stop claiming that your bitter envy and selfish ambition are ever a result of God's wisdom. And this behavior results in disorder and every vile practice. One of the words that came out of World War II was snafu. We know this to be a mishap of some sort. And I didn't know this, but the letters were actually an acronym that stood for Situation Normal, All Fouled Up. The Pentagon later changed this word for a new one, FUB, Fouled Up Beyond Belief. Sadly, this describes living under earthly wisdom. There is no place in the Christian's life or any church for jealousy and selfish ambition. Well, fortunately, James does not leave us hanging here. He takes us to verse 17, and he begins that verse with the word but. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. immediately we see that the source of this wisdom is from above, which takes me back to chapter 1, verse 17, where James tells us every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." We then see the list of seven characteristics of this wisdom. It begins with first pure, morally pure. This is a purity that comes when we are cleansed by Christ's blood. It is also true of a person's heart who is unmixed in their devotion to God. Later on in James, he's going to call out his readers to purify your hearts, you double-minded. And that is devotional purity when we are singly focused on God. One commentator said, "James' open declaration that wisdom from above is first pure teaches that all who possess it are to make perfect purity in one's moral and devotional life a primary goal." Well, interestingly, I read somewhere that the next six were written in Greek, the first four beginning with the E sound, and the last two with a pleasant A sound, with almost metrical rhyming, and perhaps the writer did this so the reader might remember these. They did not have the internet to go to, they didn't even have the written word. So just like the Psalms were memorized, this was written in a style that they could memorize. Well, the first one of these is peaceable or peaceful. Living with peace that is totally unlike the world's definition, but only the peace that Christ gives. This is the peace described in John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And you may be familiar with the prayer of St. Francis, "Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy." The next one is gentle. One commentator put it like this, and the word here, gentle, is epikes. It's there's really not a word for it in the that's translated from the Greek, but the man who is gentle is the man who knows when it is actually wrong to apply the strict letter of the law. He knows how to forgive when strict justice gives him a perfect right to condemn. Some versions use the word kind, and kind, gentle, they're interchangeable. This person overlooks the weakness of others and acts in a kind and gentle way. Well, open to reason is next. Open to implies a willingness to submit to persuasion. In the Bible, the opposite of this is foolish. Another way we might say this is a person is teachable. This is a person who is always willing to learn. And then we see full of mercy and good fruits. We experience mercy in our lives when God does not give us what we deserve. How can we give any less than we have already received? Matthew 7:2 tells us that God will grant us the same measure we grant to others. Living this way is compassion in action. The next one is impartial. Now, James has already given a great deal of instruction on the sin of partiality in chapter 2. If you were here last semester, you remember we talked about it. If you were not, I would just recommend you go back and just read chapter 2. He talks about being impartial. And it also talked about how being partial or impartial can affect our witness. And so it's not surprising at all here that James uses this as a characteristic of wisdom. The final one is sincere, or without hypocrisy. We all know the saying, what you see is what you get. Play acting is not acting with wisdom. And we may be able to fool the people around us for a time, but God sees our hearts, and eventually who we are will be revealed either in our words or our actions. Well, James concludes this section with the result of heavenly wisdom. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Righteousness cannot be sown in a life filled with jealousy and selfish ambition. And when we think of the word harvest, harvest does not just happen. Harvest requires work. And it requires work to work through this list of what it takes to be wisdom. Work goes into sowing. A farmer has to sow the seed. Then he doesn't just plant them and they magically grow. He has to water them, weed them. There's other things involved, but it takes time, and eventually there is a harvest. We can ask God for wisdom, but living out this wisdom requires us to work every day. Well, James is not giving us a checklist here that must be accomplished in order to have godly wisdom. All the lists in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, all are impossible to keep. We are sinful humans. But as believers, we have the Holy Spirit to guide and assist us. It all begins with becoming a true believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, and giving him control over our lives and asking him to help us every day, one step at a time. To achieve righteousness, spiritual maturity, and practical holiness, the theme of this book, a believer must learn to speak with care. Appealing speech comes from a wise spirit. A controlled tongue is only possible with wise thought. A mouth filled with praise results from a mind filled with purity. Daily, we need to reverently fear God, realize the wisdom we have in Christ, meditate on and read His Word, and ask God, who gives generously, for this heavenly wisdom and the ability to display a conduct of wisdom. Please pray with me, and I'm going to read a prayer I found in a book that really covers this, what we've just learned tonight. Pray. Our only wise God, we pray that you will make us pure in our moral lives and in the purity of our devotion to you. With all our hearts, we desire this first name characteristic of wisdom, the foundational element of wisdom from above. We pray that you will further fill us with heaven's wisdom, making us peaceable. Give us your shalom and help us promote peace with our brothers and sisters. God, we entreat you to make us gentle so that we will make allowances for the weaknesses of others and will be reasonable and kind in all our dealings with difficult people. Make us open to reason so we will submit to reason, abandon unthinking stubbornness, and be open to the changing of our minds when we are wrong. Lord, heaven's wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits, compassion that brings merciful action. Help us to go beyond pity and sentiment so that we do merciful acts, becoming the hands of Christ. Grant us the wisdom to be impartial, unwavering in respect to biblical principles, so our lives will exude fairness. Finally, make us sincere, clear-eyed, honest, forthright, without mask, so others will perceive the wisdom of Christ in us. Lord, give us wisdom from heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.